desire for us, and the last one about Jesus' love for us. So we had three parts of the Trinity in that worship service. It was beautiful. That was beautiful. Well, we are in Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn there. Before we get there, I forgot to say this last week during the time of the quarantine. I've told people, it's been me and Rebecca, two high school students and two college students living in our house. But last week that changed. I now have two high school students, one college student, and one college graduate living with us. So Samantha officially graduated via, I guess, online last week. But the people at Mobile, the University of Mobile, they've decided to do a large graduation service in December. So in December, we'll go up and have a time where we get to see her walk and get her diploma in a large group. But she is officially graduated. So if you know anybody looking for some college student to give a job to, right there's the lady. All right, so we are, yes. Do you do roofing? Well, she can reach. No, never mind. Okay, so we are in the book of Acts. I was sharing this morning I've just enjoyed this series so far. We talked, the first week about, just getting ready for the Holy Spirit and being patient. And then we hit those three things. And those three things, I've just been repeating them over and over in my mind, is that we're supposed to be a people of prayer. And then we're supposed to be people that care, and then we're supposed to be people that share. If we can grab that picture and say, we want to pray, and we want to care about people, and we want to share. Prayer, care, and share. How powerful that is. So last week especially, we kind of zoned in on that prayer time. We talked about how prayer unifies us as a body, how prayer should be primary. It should be the first thing we do before we do anything else. We should pray. And I gave y'all a challenge last week of praying with your family every night. As pastor, I had to make sure that I followed through with that. So you can ask the kids every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There were some nights where it was like 10 o'clock, and I went, oh, we didn't pray. And then I had that thought go through, prayer is never wasted. So I would get them all out of their beds or wherever they were, and I'd pull them out there, and I said, let's have a prayer time. And the way we did it, I don't know how y'all did it, is we just made it real simple. We just prayed for the person, right beside us. So we would just kind of go around and say, hey, is there anything really big that you need prayed for? And then we would just start, and I would pray for Samantha, and Samantha would pray for Sydney, and Sydney would pray for Sarah, and we would just go around the circle like that. And, it was just neat. It was just neat every night getting together and knowing that somebody in my family, and I know they do all the time anyway, but somebody specifically prayed for me every night. And so I think it's something we're just going to keep on doing. There'll be times when we have quiet times and times when we have devotional thoughts. But, this idea of just taking a few minutes and praying as a family every day, I think is powerful. So we talked about prayer last week. But today, we're going to go into the care element. Prayer and then care. And not so much us caring for other people, but today I really want to zero in on God caring for us. Do you know that God cares for you? Do you know what great lengths God went to tell you how much He loves you? He sent His Son to die for us. He sent people into your life to tell you about God and Jesus and how that can change. What great lengths that God has gone to let us know that He cares. We see it here in the second chapter of Acts, that this thought of how much God just was precise and careful to make sure that everyone could hear what He was saying. So we're just going to read it kind of verse by verse. We're going to stop on every verse for a few minutes here and kind of look at the different things that God went to, the different lengths God went to. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So let's stop there for just a second, because that would be a real easy verse to read over. It'd be real easy just to kind of go, okay, you know, it's kind of giving us some perspective. It's the day of Pentecost, they're all together. But I want to zero in on the timing of God. The timing of God. If we look at when Jesus died, when Jesus went to the cross, there was a Jewish holiday, a Jewish time that was going on when Jesus died. It wasn't Pentecost. Does anybody remember what it was when Jesus died? It was the Passover. Now, just real quick, you know, just to make sure we're all on the same page, the Passover was celebrating the time when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. And y'all remember the story. You know, Moses had tried to go to the Pharaoh, and over again they'd sent all the different signs for the Pharaoh to let my people go. And finally, the last one, Moses said, man, you know, God says that the firstborn is going to die if you don't let his people go. And so for the people of Israel, God said, go to your house and put the blood of the sacrificial lamb over your doorpost. And that way, when the avenging spirit of God comes in to kill the firstborn, that spirit will pass over, right? The homes where the blood was. Yeah, it was God's timing. That wasn't just a chance happening that Jesus died on the Passover. Jesus is our sacrificial blood. Having Jesus' blood on our heart means that all of our sin that should fall under the wrath of God is passed over, because that sin is given to Jesus Christ. And he bears that on the cross for us. So this idea that it was a random that Jesus died on the Passover, don't grab that at all. It was God's precise timing to let his people know how precious the blood of Jesus was. And then we come to this time, Pentecost. That first part of that word, penta, we know that. That means five, right? You got the pentagon, in it's got five sides to it. The Pentecost was the holiday that was 50 days after the Passover. 50 days after. And this isn't a chance that God waited to Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to come, because Pentecost was the feast to celebrate the harvest. Isn't that beautiful? That God said, I'm going to wait till there is the feast to celebrate the harvest, because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit into this world so that we could go out into the harvest. Those harvests of people that are lost from God, that are now ready to hear what Jesus did for them. You know, we talk about that verse, the harvest is plentiful, right? But the workers are few. I love what it says. It doesn't say rush out into the harvest, therefore. It says what? It says pray that God will send someone into the harvest. You know, when you start praying about this harvest going on, you're putting yourself in the direct line that God wants you to. Prayer, care, share. But a lot of times God will tap on you and kind of go, well, now that you've been praying, turns out you're one of the people I want to send out into that harvest. And at that time, you're ready. You're not going out there with empty words. You're not going out of your own power. But at that time, you've been filled up and you're overflowing into others. So it's the time of harvest that God sends the Holy Spirit, the feast of harvest. And now, another great thing about that is during this time of this feast of Pentecost, people from all over. In fact, you can look in verses 5 through about 10, where it talks all the different nationalities that, because it's Pentecost, have all come to one central location. Isn't that just awesome? God said, I want my word to spread out, so I'm going to wait till this feast of harvest, when everybody comes together in one place, and then when they feel the love of God, they're going to go back to their home. Spread what they just heard. You see, God's timing is just a picture of how perfect his caring is for us. Can I ask you in your own life to remember that? Because I get ahead of God sometimes. I do. And I go, God, when are you going to do this? God, when are you going to fix this? God, when do I get to know what happens next? And we get this idea that for some reason, God's not in control, right? It's not happening now, so therefore, God must be completely out of control. And I need to knock on his door and say, God, you need to do something. And I want you to hear right now that God's timing is a picture of how much he cares for you. And at a perfect time, those things are going to happen. Because there's things that he's setting up for you right now. Sam and Sydney, as I just think about y'all going out into the world, God is setting things up for you right now. You know, no matter what age we are, God is setting things up for us. And if we rush into it and we don't think about the love that God has through his timing, we're liable to forget. You know, I think about other things that are happening in history right at that point. The Romans, you know, they're the bad guys. But God uses the Romans to bring peace to a place that hadn't had peace. Now, it wasn't a good peace. I mean, you had peace because you were scared the Romans were going to kill you, right? You may have watched Ben-Hur. I mean, that's kind of the peace the Romans were. You know, just stand there and don't do anything because next thing you know, you're going to be in the galley rowing the ship or something. You know, the peace of that area, though, you could travel wherever you wanted to because everybody was scared of the Romans, and there weren't these huge wars and infighting going on. Also, the Romans had built roads, so it was a great time to travel. Isn't that a perfect time to come into the world when there is peace in this area where you're starting and you're able to travel out? There was a common trade language because people are traveling more. The Greek, the special form of Greek, where it was called the trade language of that area, where people were able to converse to sell things. So there was a common, there were roads, there was a common language. There was a spiritual void. As the Romans came in, as you read history books, so many people had their own gods and their own idols, and suddenly they found out those gods and those idols were useless. There was no peace from those idols. Here they were being oppressed by the Roman government, and they were ready to say, well, if this doesn't work, what is the true God that will bring me peace in the middle of this situation? Also, the Roman military recruited people. They recruited from the area, and then they would take those people and they would send them out. I read a story about that they traced Christianity in England back to these Roman centurions that would come in, some of them were Christians. And so the seedbed of Christianity in England started from this Roman occupation throughout the area. And of course, you know, from England that spread to America eventually. You know, isn't that interesting that, you know, America was founded because of the religious problems in England? And if you trace those back, it came back to these Romans and centurions. You see, God knew what he was. There's timing to God's power. So first thing is timing. Let's move on to the second verse. It says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The wind, the sound of this incredible wind, this is symbolic of God's power. God's power. So we have God's timing and we have God's power. Now, when you think of wind, a lot of times, well, I guess we probably do because we've been through so many hurricanes, right? But a lot of times we kind of think of this gentle breeze. And I think God is in the gentle breeze. You know, we had a nice gentle breeze yesterday. Some of my family was outside doing work. It's nice to have the gentle breeze. But let's don't forget the power of the wind. Rebecca and I, we moved to Wichita Falls, Texas, back in early 2000s, and we bought a house there, and one of the selling points of the house was that there was this medium-sized red barn that was in the back of the house. It was kind of a storage barn. It had two stories on it, and one of the selling points, it was inside that barn, there was a safety room. This guy had built this room, and it was like triple reinforced concrete. And and if there was any kind of big storm, it was kind of a storm shelter. And we kind of looked at that, and we were going, "Well, that's interesting. Why did this guy who built this house build this safety room?" And as we heard about the history of Wichita Falls in 1979, there was a day called Terrible Tuesday. It was April 10th as a perfect storm cell came up. Tornadoes, it was an F4 tornado. There's actually F5 tornadoes, but this F4 tornado, it wasn't just the one tornado. It was a culmination of storms coming together. They said at one point during this time, if you looked at this massive tornado, you would have saw five different rotations within this storm, all coming together in one spot. The storm was over a mile and a half wide, and it cut through the middle of Wichita Falls, just within, a block of this man's house. By the end of this storm, 42 people were dead, 2,000 were injured, in today's money, $1.8 billion of damage, and it lasted 20 minutes. The power of wind, the power of the storm. We forget when it says this mighty sound of wind came up, just how powerful our earthly wind can be. And as we think about how powerful would God's wind be, the same word for breath and wind and spirit is the same in Hebrew, and it's the same in Greek. And if you see, you get this thought of God breathing life into people, God breathing the stars into the galaxy. And you imagine the wind that we understand here, just the power of God's wind. I like what it says. It says, suddenly the sound, like the blowing of a violent wind. God just sent the sound. If he had sent his wind, you would have seen apostles flying through the air, right? But it was the sound of the wind to remind them, I am here and I am powerful. And whatever you need, realize you're getting the power from me. I heard someone say this week, whatever is against you, close your eyes for a second. Think about the power of God. And then think about what you're facing. Close your eyes, and before you think about what you're facing, think about the power of God first. And what couldn't God do? So we had the timing of God. We had the power of God. All for God to show us how much he loved us. Verse number 3. So they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Isn't that's real? I can't imagine any of this. Someone told me out in the hall earlier, wouldn't it be great to have been there that day when the Holy Spirit came in such power like that? But this idea of fire is symbolic in the Bible of God's presence. God's presence. If you think about Moses talked to God and God showed up in a burning bush, right? The fire. You hear about the people of Israel. They were led by a cloud during the day, but at night there was a fire in the sky that they were led by. The presence of God. Anytime that you hear about the presence of God, fire is a part of it. The cherubim had flaming swords. I read somewhere that cherubim, the literal translation of cherubim, is burning thing, this flaming thing. But this flame, it represented the presence of God. How much more does God need to do to tell you he cares than to say, I'm always there looking at you, and I've got a time, I've got it figured out, trust me. I've got the power you need. But listen, more than anything, the God of the universe, His presence is what gets us through everything. What happens here when we see God's presence at work is we see what's called, let's read it in verse number 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We've got two things going on here that as Baptists, sometimes we just kind of run from. It says, they were filled with the Spirit, oh no, and they spoke in tongues. Let's get out of here, hurry up, we'll skip over that and go down to verse 13. No, okay, we'll talk about this, and actually, we'll break it up. This isn't the tongues we read about when Paul talks about that spiritual language, so I'm a little bit more comfortable in what we're going to talk about today, but I'm not scared to talk about tongues. We'll talk about that when the time comes. But first, I want to talk about this filling of the Holy Spirit, because this can be confusing. Blake, doesn't the Holy Spirit come into you when you're saved? Is there a separate filling of the Holy Spirit, and what does that look like? Yeah, this is the best way I can explain it. The best way I can explain it is that as a person, you're really three parts. One part is pretty obvious. I'm this fleshly body, okay? I'm fleshly. We know that the flesh is not ever going to just be godly. God at one time, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, is going to give us a new body, right? We'll have a bread, but this one is going to go to dust and God will reform it into this person. It's always going to be of the flesh. So that's one part of us. We've got this flesh on us that desires things. Now there's a second part of us that when we ask Jesus into our heart, it says we had a dead spirit, but then our spirit comes alive. Now that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and does a miraculous thing. Guys, that's where you're protected. You will never lose your salvation. Never. God comes into your spirit and it's sealed with that power of the Holy Spirit. You are saved. Now, here's the dilemma that Paul hit though. Paul says, I've got this spirit living in this fleshly body. And he said, there's things that I want to do that I know I shouldn't want to do. And there's this battle. And do y'all know what controls that battle? There's this third part. Some people call it the soul. There's different words. The mind, the will, and the emotion. The mind, the will, and the emotion. It's your feeler. It's your thinker. It's your chooser. It's that thing where you go, am I going with this flesh? Am I going with this world? Or am I going with my spirit? And that's where the battle is. And let me tell you where the filling of the Holy Spirit happens. You are never depleted of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. But oftentimes, in this mind, will, and emotion, you have to consciously choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like what we said earlier in that song. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Now, you're always here. I'm never going to lose this. But there's this part of me where I'm going to ask you to come in. There's nothing you can do with this flesh. This flesh is always going to battle against me. But in here, I'm going to ask daily, Holy Spirit, for you to fill me. Fill this soul. I read this guy this week, and I just said, oh, this is perfect. He said, I get up every morning, he said, and I clean out this mind, will, and emotion. He said, I do this by confessing my sins. He said, I know I don't have to confess my sins for my salvation. He said, I'm saved. Jesus paid the price once and all for my sins in this spiritual realm. But he said, here in this mind, will, and emotion, he said, every day I'm getting up to confess my sins and say, God, I'm mad at myself for leaning into my flesh here and not leaning into my spirit here. I'm mad at myself for this. I want to confess that. He said, I just get it all out. He said, I call on that verse that said, if you confess your sins, God will forgive you of those sins and of all unrighteousness. He said, I just confess it. He said, and then I intentionally asked the Holy Spirit to fill me. And he said, at the end of the day, I go back and he said, I do it again. I just confess what I did wrong and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me, fill me. Because in that filling of the Holy Spirit, that's where you get the ability to handle the things the world is throwing at you. That's where you connect with your spiritual part. That's where the fight happens. Every morning, guys, don't lose this. Invite the Holy Spirit to fill your mind, your will, and your emotions. Put those things in check. as you go out into the world. And it said that the Holy Spirit filled them and they began to speak in tongues. Now I said, you know, this isn't the heavenly tongues. The word here is dialecto. It means different dialects. If you look down through there, you're going to see all these different countries and all these different people that have come to Jerusalem because of Pentecost, because of the perfect timing. They're all there, and all of a sudden the disciples get up and start telling them about the love of Jesus, and they hear it in their own language. So not a heavenly language that someone has to translate. Each person was hearing what the disciples were saying in their own language. So this is different than the other tongues. But let me tell you the exciting part of this dialecto. The exciting part of it is, you know, one thing we always want to think is that, hey, you know, this is great because, you know, within this, there was good communication going on, right? God maybe had everybody hear in their own tongue so that they could perfectly understand what was being said. And I was asking Joel earlier, we both have preached in churches where people didn't speak our language. And you have to have a translator when you do that. I did it one time in Nashville at an Asian church. And I just remember, you know, I'm preaching along, I'm making a great point, and all of a sudden, you know, I stop and let the translator translate what I said, and then everybody just breaks out into laughter. And I'm just going, okay, something messed up in the translation there. You know, and you have that, and you kind of go, well, maybe that's why God had everybody's language where they could hear it so that the word could clearly go. And I think that's part of it. But here's what I want you to know. I think there's more to it than just communication. Imagine you being there that day, and you start for the first time hearing about the love of God through Jesus Christ, and it's in your own language. Would this cross your mind? You mean God knows my language? You mean God cares about my nation? You mean God cares about the people that I care about? You mean that God cares for me, that He would allow me to hear this in my own words? He knows my language. How personal was that? How powerfully personal that the God who created the world told me about His love in my language. The great lengths God will go to tell us that He loves us. We need God's timing. We need God's power. But oh, do we need God's presence? We need to know how personal that presence is in our life. Guys, can I tell you, if you want to pray something for your personal life, pray that you're going to be, you'll be in God's timing with God's power and know God's presence. And that'll push you farther than anything. If you go, man, God, I trust your timing. I yield to your power. And I'm experiencing your presence in my life. Tell me something that won't hold up against that. Tell me something that won't just knock down. We talked about the power of God being like a wind. You know, how many times does God's wind just blow through us, right? At the right time. And all of a sudden, you know, there's nothing that could stand in the way. And it knocks down and it knocks down and it knocks down things in our life. And you know what we do sometimes? I don't know about you, this is what I do. Sometimes I go back in after God has just knocked everything down. Maybe it's through a virus. Maybe it's through a sickness. Maybe it's through a situation in my job. You know, everything is just knocked down, and God just says, here comes my presence, right? Here's where you can hear from me. We've moved everything out of the way, and what do I do? Silly me, I start propping it all back up again. I prop it up, and I prop it up, and I can't hear God's presence. Listen, when these things all work in conjunction, and we just humbly say, God, what is it? It's amazing what the timing, the power, and the presence of God can do. Let's finish it up like this and say that, you know, today we still speak different languages, don't we? I mean, there's physical different languages, but I want you to hear that this ability to speak into people's lives personally, this different dialects of people, is so powerful in that caring part. I'm praying for them, and then I'm finding personally, how do I tell you about God's love? You know, it's why we have a four-year-old Sunday school class. Because I'm pretty sure that if you walked into the four-year-old Sunday school class, you might go, boy, this is not my language. You know, I'm not getting it. But that four-year-old is going like this. That four-year-old in their mind somewhere is that God loves me so much that it's personal. It's in my language. If you walk over to the youth building, you might go, man, this loud music, while the way that Joel teaches, while, you know, the craziness of what's going on. You go, this isn't like my Sunday school class. Well, it's not. Because we want that student to walk in there and go, you mean God loves me so much that he's speaking about his love in my language? In Sunday school classes. You know, you might walk into one of them and go, that's not for me. But guess what? It's for someone else. And just because it's not for you doesn't mean we need to talk down about any of it. We need to understand that God shows his love in different dialects. We're going to hire a worship pastor here pretty soon. God's already got that planned out. And you might come in and go, wow, that music isn't quite in my dialect, Blake. But remember that it is someone's dialect. And sometimes we have to put away, you know, I already know how much God loves me. I'm not going to get any more saved than I am right now. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And so if the music here doesn't exactly tickle my fancy, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to go, you know what? It's reaching someone. And I'm going to praise God for his timing, his power, and his presence in that worship leader that he sends. I'm going to praise God in that. What great lengths does God go through to share his love with people? Let me ask you this question to think about this week. Did God go to a great length to tell you how much he loves you? How many pastors did he use? How many family members did he use? How many friends? What kind of situations? We had a baptism this morning. William Hatcher. Hey, William. Got baptized this morning. And I bet I could go to William and say, William, what great lengths did God go to tell you how much he loved you? Think about that in your life. How far did he have to go to tell you that? And then the next question is, are you willing to be a part of the great lengths God will go to share with this city and with this nation and with this world? The great lengths God goes to show us how much he loves us. Final little story. If you look down at Acts, verse number 13, it says, some, however, after this great movement of God, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Isn't that amazing? God's timing, God's power, and God's presence falls on people. People are talking in different languages. I mean, it's just beautiful. And then all of a sudden, the dissenting voice rings out, they've had too much wine. Satan's always working against God. You better hear that. As soon as God moves, Satan moves. I think it's great. Satan never creates. Satan reacts. And when God starts creating a new movement, Satan will react to it every time. And we've got to be prepared not to listen to that voice. The last story is a story I heard about a young man, teenager. Friend and him were playing on the ice. Ice in one section gave way. Friend fell in. The current under the ice pushed the friend down just a little bit where he's trapped under the ice. The other teenager looks at the situation and finally just sees a stick. and he grabs the stick and he starts beating the ice above his friend. He starts beating it in a circle and he beats it and beats it. And he's yelling, "Someone get somebody, someone help." And he just keeps beating it and beating it and beating it. And while the emergency groups are coming to the ice, he hits it and hits it and hits it in that circle so many times and so hard that finally the ice breaks. And he reaches in and he grabs his friend and he pulls him out right as the emergency people get there and they save his friends. And the emergency people, as everything is calming down, the friend is safe, they look and they look at the thickness of the ice. And they look at the stick that the kid used to beat it. And one of them said, "That's impossible. How could that kid have done this with a stick with ice that thick?" And the other one looked at him and said, "I'll tell you why he was able to do it. Because there was no one here to tell him he couldn't do it." That power of knowing that I'm not going to listen to someone tell me I can't. I'm going to listen to the power and the presence and the timing of God. And I don't care if they call me foolish. And I don't care if they say I can't do it. I'm going to listen to God. How far we'll get if we'll cancel out what Satan is saying that we can't do. You can't share Christ. They're going to laugh at you. You can't go out and have a little church of 120 people really change a city. You can't do that. Give me a stick. And the power and the presence and the timing of God, and I'll be fine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, it's so good to be in your house. And God, as we just think about what great lengths you go to tell people how much you love them, God, I just ask that you would just pull that veil back just a little bit. And God, help us to see how much you love us this morning. God, that you have this church here. God, that you have these leaders here. God, that you have families. God, how far you go to tell us how much you love us. God, I ask you to let us put our complete faith in you this morning. Our complete faith in you this week. We were talking this morning how much fear is driving our lives right now. God, I want to confess and clear out that. And I want to replace that fear with faith in you. God, as we go out from here, God, help us see your timing and your power. But most of all, let us feel your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.